Okay, we are in what's called essay number 4, Kuntres Acharon. It is to be found on page 601, 602. It starts to have a much because of the Priyetz Chaim is the name of the title of this discourse or notes, whatever that it happens to be. This one happens to be very long. It's going to take us 6 or 7 times.
Wow.
To get through this one, it's
2 months.
Wow!
Yeah, it's going to be a good couple, a good chunk, of, good chunk of change on the calendar before we get done with this. Yes. Okay. In it, being that I'm basically preparing as we're going along, I have to admit because I've never taught this one before. I can't tell you how it ends because I haven't really learned the end.
19 pages.
Yeah, which means it's
17 pages.
Yeah, so which means one Hebrew, one English. So it's 9 pages long.
Okay,
which doesn't sound so bad, considering that we do a page every time.
If we're lucky.
So he's talking here. He's bringing up the point of advantage of davening over Torah. And as a background, I'm not sure how much we spent on it. But there's a concept called Shviras HaKelim.
Yes.
The shattering of the vessels, which is such a horrible translation. All the translations of Kabbalistic terms are horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. The deal is that you have 10 spheres. Okay? Every level, everything has the 10 spheres, which you talked about. Chachma Bina Das, Chesed Gevurah Tiferes, Netzach Hayod Yesod, Malchus. Every level has 10 spheres. So, in Kesser, which is the level of corresponding to will, there are also 10 spheres. Now, Kesser is an encompassing power, just like a crown, which is why it's called a crown, because it encompasses. It doesn't enclose itself directly into the creation, but rather is encompasses it, keeping it in existence in a way of derech seviv.
That's what it was.
Yes. Okay. So now, what it says over there in the Kabbalah, taking from the Zohar, that the 10 spheres of Kesser contain a tremendous amount of aura, a tremendous amount of godliness, and not so much keli. Keli is the means by which the or is conveyed. It is translated also another very bad translation of oris and kalim is lights and vessels.
Which yeah. You're thinking lights and vessels, so you start thinking glasses of water, pots and pans, something like that.
But as we said before,
light bulbs.
Yeah, the keli, the word keli, which is used in the Gemara, means anything that has a use. So right. What the kelim are ways by which the elikus, we talked about this when we did Simen Chof.
Could you say structure?
It's the way by which the or is conveyed.
Conveyed.
Or made usable. Right. So in Kesser, the or is very powerful. Because it's desire. You can imagine a person's own desires and the energy that's involved with desire, and there's not a lot in which to that desire to be contained.
Okay, are you using the term desire and will interchangeably?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So what happened, it says, is that there was, quote-unquote, a shattering of the vessels, that the godliness, the conveyance of this godly will didn't come through the creation process in a normal creation process manner, but sparks of this godliness descended into Seder Histalshalus, into the creation process. Our job, one of the things that Adam was put into this world for, is to be mevayer the netzutzes, to purify, rectify these sparks of divine will. We're told that the B'nai Yisrael, when they left Egypt, they took with them, they had elevated 202 of the 288 sparks. As it says, V'ha'erev rav oyla imahem, the mixed multitude Arav means mixed. Rav is a numerical value of resh base of 202. Was Ola, they brought it up. They elevated it out of this world. Leaving just 86 sparks. And 86 is the numerical value of the word nature of a teva. So after the Jews left Egypt, that's 3,300 years ago, all that was left for mankind to purify was all of nature.
Just creation.
Yeah. Okay.
Just creation.
So now in the times of the Alter Rebbe, they were still involved in this like bewildering process.
Okay.
By the time in 1943, the Friedrich Rebbe said, we finished already, and all we have to do is polish the buttons. And by 1976, the Rebbe said, we've done polishing the buttons already. So as far as Avedis Berurim, we're done. So then you could say, well, is this letter then still therefore applicable? Is this something discussing a subject which we, the Rebbes have said, the Friedrich Rebbe and our Rebbe, have both said, well, we're done with the Berurim. So if that's the case, then fine. The whole thing over here is, which do you get a better Berur from? Which does a better job of purifying the creation? Learning Torah or davening? So it's a moot point if it's as good as it's going to be. So for that, we answer, no, that's not why, that's not the only reason why it is that we are engaged in learning Torah and davening. Their reasons apply also to, we still have an animal soul. Our animal soul is still an animal soul. And our Yetzirah is still a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is the intellect of the animal soul. And since those things are still engaged in the pursuits that animal souls and Yetziraharas are still engaged in, so rather than allowing our animal to muck up what we've already accomplished, so if we can put a yoke on it and we can direct it in the right way, which is what the purpose of davening and learning is, so then it'll make things even better. So which is better, learning or davening? That's the question that he starts with.
Things, what things?
The world. Allahav and Mashakosa Bapriyas Chaim to Bisman Hazeh Iker Habir Al Yidea Tfila Dafke. It says, understand something that the Arizal writes, that in this time for the Arizal, you're talking 1550s. The main way of purification is through davening specifically. Asha Talmud Teru Lamailam Tfila, even though Torah learning is higher than davening. As it says, Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. You say it every day. Mm-hmm. And the study of Torah, Talmud, the study of learning Torah weighs equal to everything. During the times of the Gemara, he said back in the 40s, that during the times of the Gemara, that was true, Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. And they looked at people who spent inordinate amount of time davening as missing the point. Because the Hasidim or Rishonim would spend 9 hours a day davening, and someone, I remember there's a mimer from the Friedrich Rebbe, it's found in Kontraisim, that someone said, you're wasting time with temporary life and forsaking eternal life. That davening is just a connection that's as good as a connection as one can make during davening. We talked about this last week. Whereas learning is an eternal connection. When you learn something, it's in your head, it's forever. You don't have to, you close the book, you stop davening. When you close the book, when you're learning, you still got it in your head because you learned it. So the main thing during that time, 2,000 years ago, the main way of rectifying the world was through learning. But over the course of the millennia, what happened is we became small-minded. Our IQs dropped drastically. We cannot fulfill the concept of learning Torah the way it was demanded from us at the times of the Mishnah. And therefore, for us, the Alter Rebbe said, it's davening. Adam Ashbia said, well, that's true again for the 1790s.
Yeah.
But for now, our way of doing Birur is with bringing another Jew close to Torah. By doing. Okay. So now,
to say that we can't even do davening, let alone learning.
Right.
That we have to at least know.
Right.
We're not any smarter and we have less focus.
Correct. We're not davening like Hillel Parasher these days, no. The Indian who, to explain this. Sha'ali deterin mitzvahs ma'asifim or batzilus. That when a person does learns Torah and performs mitzvahs, so it says they're drawing down additional godliness into atzilus. There's two Kabbalistic terms that are applicable over here. There's something called Soid Shoresh and Soid Tosfos. Soid means a foundation. Shoresh means like a root. And Tosfos means like additional. So there's a normal Seder Histalshalus. There's a normal creation process. And the amount of godliness which is required is how much was appropriated, so that you have just the right amount of godliness in Atzilus, and just the right amount in Bria, and Yetzira, and Asiya, and every creature gets just what it needs to bring it into existence. Comes along now Torah and mitzvahs, and when a person learns Torah and does mitzvahs, that causes there to be an increased godliness drawn down into Seder Histalshalus, into the creation process, causing Seder Histalshalus, causing the creation to be on a higher level. And we understand this simply. When a person does mitzvahs, so, or learns Torah, so that we're making the world a better place. This is all part of the jargon, all the good things that happen to the physical world when we learn and we do mitzvahs. Pirish Barain Saif Barahu Bekalem Zatzilus Ali De Torah Talmud Torah Bepnimius. That means to say, what are we doing? Is we're drawing down, when we do learn Torah, do mitzvah, we're drawing down the infinite revelation of Hashem into that aspect of Atzilus which conveys godliness. So now godliness, a greater expression of godliness is being conveyed when we do a mitzvah. We're talking about here.
Yes.
Through the study of Torah, for example, on the inner levels, that means that we draw down, quote unquote, God's brain, which God's brain is Chochma Bina and Dasa Vitzilus, and by doing the mitzvahs, that's with the learning of the Torah. So by learning the Torah, so we're drawing down God's intellect into the world. By fulfilling the mitzvahs, so it's an external expression of the godliness of Vitzilus, which is Netzach, Hoyd, and Yesoy should be Yid, Sirus of Zosh, Betzilus, in case you really wanted to know and put it in your GPS. That refers to Netzach, Hoyd, and Yesoy. It's talking about that. What's Zaw? You have the six emotions, is what they're called. But in actuality, there's no six emotions. We talked about this way back when in chapter 3. There's three emotions of kindness. Severity, kindness means give, severity means hold back, and teferis, which means truth, or rachmanis. Those are the emotions that we have, and different combinations thereof. Netzach, hod, and yesod are there to put practical application to the emotion. They are not emotion. There's no emotion of victory.
Right.
Victory is, how am I getting my kindness to work? And hod is follow through. How am I going to get this that I don't go bumping into things as I'm charging around all over the place with my netzach? So you use your hod to dampen and focus your netzach. And then your sod makes it all practical. That's the whole purpose of your sod, is to make it practical. So when a person is doing these mitzvahs, so there's additional godliness which is drawn down into the levels of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, meaning that there's more practically applicable godliness being brought down into the world. And he puts it here as an only, meaning it should really be like an even, such that the extra godliness is expressed in some physical object. Like, for example, your tefillin. Your tefillin, he's going to talk about this actually later. Your tefillin are kaddish regardless if you wear them or you're not wearing them.
Right.
Where are your tefillin right now? Your tefillin are in a safe place, so nothing should happen to them. And they're not in a bathroom, they're not under a bed. You know, they're just not, they're not lying. You didn't, like, take them off and hang them on a peg someplace. You know, oh, I'm just going to put them on tomorrow. You know, I'll just leave them unwrapped, and you wrapped them up, and you put them in the bag, and you zip the bag, and you put it inside the bag, and you put that in your locker or wherever. Because the tefillin themselves, once the process has begun, are holy in and of themselves. And when you're doing the mitzvah, so it's the tefillin that is directing the godliness down. So when a person, the tefillin's like on a, like a radio receiver, okay? It's directing the godliness should come down to your head, to your heart. This is a time when the Rebbe was yelling at Shach, Menachem Shach, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Panevitz 30 years ago. He came out against various different campaigns of the Rebbe. So I think it was when he spoke about Lag B'Omer parades and how we shouldn't have Lag B'Omer parades. The Rebbe was like encouraging every place should have a Lag B'Omer parade. And he came out and said, Lag B'Omer parades, you got clowns, latzanos, it says Valeli, latzanu, you clap your chest when you say latzanu for clowning around. He says, you know, it's forbidden to have a parade. So the Rebbe came out and said, what could I tell you if he's wearing puzzle tefillin and his brain isn't working properly? So the wearing of the tefillin, it just so happened that a brother of one of his students was a Lubavitcher, and he stole the Shach's tefillin and had him checked, and his shorosh was indeed puzzle. They got it fixed for him. So I don't know if that story is public, but Lubavitchers all know it.
Mm-hmm.
So the putting on the tefillin, when a person's putting on tefillin, the tefillin is directing the godliness to them, on their head and through their to their arms, to their heart. And that's happening in a physical way, affecting the physical world. That's Torah, that's mitzvahs. Aval tefillah, davening. Hu hamshachos orin zei baruch hu lebiya davke v'loi b'derech yislavshes bilvad. That when a person davens, what are they trying to do? They're trying to establish a connection with Hashem. And when a person davens, it says quite clearly, if you're davening to Chesed of Atzilus, and you're saying, Chesed of Atzilus, please help me, you've just committed idolatry.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, but talking Chesed, it's the attribute of God. I'm talking to the attribute of God. Good. So what's the moon? The moon is also an expression of something,
right,
of God.
Exactly.
So, and you can't bow down to that either.
Right.
Okay, so it says that when a person davens, what should they be thinking? What should they be davening to? That level of lakus that a four-year-old means when it says Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
The four-year-old doesn't know from different levels and this and that. Right. He doesn't even know what God is.
Right.
But knows there's something called an Abishter. So when we daven, right, we should be davening to something we know is called an Abishter, something up there someplace. So we're trying to make that connection. And what happens then is, you can't even daven to Or Ein Sof.
No.
Oh, Or Ein Sof, please help me. No. Can't do that either.
Any qualifiers and
yeah, any qualifiers idolatry. You could say Hashem. That's about it. Or any of the other names that are applicable.
Right.
So that doesn't come. So it draws down the infiniteness into God, into the creation specifically, and not in just in a way that the godliness is enclosed. Because when if you're relating to, you want to make a connection to this level of elikus, which is beyond even calling it a name. What does that mean to make a connection? You want to be drawn down here. We're not going up there. So if we want to have the connection, we have to bring the godliness down here. So it's not only does it come down here, Rak ha'or mamish lishnais ha'nivroim mekamash she'heim. It changes the creation. You can change the creation through prayer. Like, for example, she's Rafa Achayla, V'yared HaGeshem, V'shamayim La'aretz, V'yolid of Itzmicha. You pray for people to get well, so people get well. You pray for the rain to come down, all different types of things, that things should be growing. These are things that because you are davening, you're drawing down the godliness into the world, that it should change the way the Seder of the world is, the order of the world is now. That's the effect that davening has, that we can affect with your learning in the mitzvahs. So you're just bringing godly down and everything just like shines more, if you pardon the expression. But with davening, you have the ability of changing the way the world is, the composition of the world. This person right now is being created as a sick person. With your davening, you have the ability to change it, that person is no longer created as a sick person. That person is now created as a well person. Masha Ein came b'Torah and mitzvahs. Since I heard a very interesting story this week.
So the effect is more makif.
You're talking about with davening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Besides the fact that it's mislabish, besides the fact that you're drawing godliness, which is enclosed into Seder Histalshus, that's panimi, that's not makif,
right.
But you're actually changing that. You have the ability now to change the composition of the world. So the way it exists, yeah, okay, you can say that's makif.
Yeah.
I heard a story that there was a 12-year-old who went into Yechidus, an Israeli 12-year-old, and he went into Yechidus. His bar mitzvah was sometime after Tishrei, but his family was in town for Elul, so he went in for Yechidus before his bar mitzvah. This is in the early 70s.
Okay.
So the Rebbe was asking him, so what did you learn? What are you learning? He told him it's Gemari, Fafaradim Gemara, very nice. And he asked him, are you learning Hasidus? And he said, he's learning Lakutei Torah, which is Alter Rebbe, on the portion of the week. Not the easiest things, but that's in yeshiva, that's the first thing they learn with some of the easier Maimarim that are in Lakutei Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rebbe said in astonishment, a 12-year-old Bachar is learning Lakutei Torah. He said, what Maimar are you learning? So he said, he's learning the Elul Maimar, Ani L'Deidi V'Deidi Li. So the Rebbe said, are you familiar with the parable of the king in the field? You know what I'm talking about, yeah? King in the field?
I think that's heard again.
Just very quickly, it says that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur because you have a revelation of the 13 attributes of mercy. Okay, that's the day the 13 attributes of mercy are revealed, and that makes it Yom Kippur. But then it also says in Periyat Chaim that every day in Elul you also have a revelation of the 13 attributes of mercy. So the Rebbe asks a question. So how come Elul is a weekday? There's not even a holiday in Elul. And he answers, well, you have the same revelation, but it's a variation on a single thing. Because he gives an example that there's a king in the field. Okay, what's the king doing? He's on vacation. Okay, and if he's on vacation, so he's not wearing the ermine robes and the crown. He's wearing his Dockers and his Birkenstocks, and he's sitting, kicking it back over there, and he's like, you know, sitting enjoying himself, and he's in a really good mood. And somebody comes up and makes the petition. The king says, sure, no problem, gives it to him with a smile. So, but if, however, the person wants to go to the palace, because after the vacation's over, the king goes back to the palace, you have to get up an appointment. To get an appointment, you have to clear security. They have to check out, what do you want the appointment for? You have to go through this minister and that secretary. They go through committees to get this appointment, and then you could be standing in front of the king. And the king could say, no. So he says, that's the idea with Elul, as opposed to Yom Kippur, is Elul is a time when you should be approaching Hashem. That's why we have all those rishitavas about learning Torah and doing tefillah and giving extra tzedakah and doing tshuva, etc., etc., to prepare you for Rosh Hashanah, because now's the time when you should be making your petition to God. Don't wait for Rosh Hashanah and say, God, I want a good year, because at that point, God says, just put it on the pile, I'll get to it. So yes, and you're familiar with the parable of the king in the field. So the Bachar said, yeah. So the Rebbe asked him, have you seen the king in the field? Now, I wouldn't know what to answer that question. The 12-year-old is totally befuddled. So the Rebbe said, when you take a glass of water on a hot day, it must have been hot outside, like it could have been probably August, because it's Elul over there, and it's New York City. Okay, when you take a glass of water on a hot day, and you'll say, Baruch Atah. In order for you to say Atah, you have to be looking face to face. That's the king in the field. He says, you just have to recognize that that's the king in the field. Okay? So we do, Hashem wants, Hashem is standing right here, you might say. He's saying, look, will you look at me already? Let's, I'm right here, hello, look for me. So,
the might say is the problem.
Yeah, okay. So it comes now and says, Mashri Heim Vater and Mitzvahs, which is not the case with learning and Mitzvahs. She'ein Shinoi Beklafa Tefillin Al Yidei HaNachosin Sheberosh Bezroya. Once you have the tefillin, and you put them on, there is no change made to the tefillin. On the contrary, the tefillin are what's changing you. Mm-hmm. You're not affecting a change in the world. Mm-hmm. Provided that we're talking about, I skipped the line. And even those mitzvahs where you have the item itself is not intrinsically holy. Okay, the example that's given is like, for example, a sukkah. You have a bunch of boards, right. Okay, and the bunch of boards are just sitting in a pile, and you put it together, and you put the schach on the top. It doesn't become a mitzvah for that to be a sukkah until you sit in it and say, Asher kedushanu b'sveisa v'tzivan aleshe b'sukkah. Same thing with matzah. Hmm. Okay. A matzah, 51 weeks out of the year, is a cracker.
Right.
Comes now the first day of Pesach, and you say, Asher kedushanu b'sveisa v'tzivan aleshe b'sukkah, and you are making the item holy. He says, okay, granted that you're doing that. Okay, if with something like tefillin or tzitzis or a sefer Torah, that they're intrinsically, these objects are intrinsically holy, so you're not changing the world with them. They're changing you.
Right, okay.
V'loi b'dei sh'mayim sh'v'roshu k'misas sh'asisan v'gomer misas sh'ashinu v'al yedei ha'adam. V'loi b'dei sh'mayim k'v'tfila. And it's not, it's happening through the person doing it. Mm. Okay, when is it? Now, so what happens is, a person takes his cracker the first night of Pesach and he puts it on in his mouth. So then there's a change in the world because he took this and he made it holy.
Right.
But that's him doing it.
Yeah.
By davening, when you're davening, it's not you doing it, it's the godliness which is coming down, it's the godliness which is doing it. Okay? Like tefillah, shehu hamshachas achayis me'orein tsev baruchu, that this this davening now, it causes the godliness to come down into this world. Shehu levado kol yachol, that Hashem alone is called a kol yachol. Hashem can accomplish anything. So you could say, well, what is my davening going to do? It says, just if it says, we're not talking about fancy kavanas. Like the Rizal has, you know, books written on what a person should be thinking and all the different permutations of Hashem's name and the different nekudos and all the things that he could, at this point you're drawing down this hamshach, and at that point you're drawing down this thing, and you don't even need that. If a person's going to daven, meaning that they know, I am davening, that's first of all. Okay, a person puts on their tefillin and just says the word and gets out, just goes on with his business. That's not even called davening. So a person has to first stop and say, I am davening to Hashem. And I know the men of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset and Gedolei, were a whole lot smarter than I am. And they put a lot of intention behind every word. And therefore, Hashem, when I'm davening now to you, and I'm going to say the word, you should consider as though I had all the intentions that the men of the Great Assembly intended with that word. Okay? He says, that's fine. Perfect. And then what happens? Hashem takes over. He says, oh, okay, good. I'm coming down. You call me? I'm here. Okay? So it's a one of those things which, if I guess it could fall into a superstition or how, I don't know what you would call it, but it says that the person should be careful when pronouncing the names of angels, because it's said, this is, I don't know, it's in Gemara someplace, Medrash talks about when you saying an angel's name, so the angel comes to you. So people are careful. They say Samach Mem instead of Samael, and they say Matat instead of Matataron, because suddenly it's like, oh, you're going to call the Samach, you know, it's just like you're calling these super-duper angels, and it's not such a good thing to do. And, yeah, are people superstitious? Nah, Kenahar, no, we're not.
What if someone's named, you know, Gabriel?
Yeah, we're talking, it's pretty much specifically those two. And there's
no
a couple,
one's named the other ones.
No, people don't name their kids Matat.
Right.
I've yet to name.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I haven't had a name.
Not even anybody from California. No.
Yeah, <right. laughs>
Although I don't know everybody named in California, so I'd have to go look.
You have to be careful on that. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be somebody walking around with the name Matat in California. So.
Could be.
So the, but davening, every word of davening, you're calling Hashem.
Yeah.
You have Hashem's full attention with every word of davening. Okay, it's a tremendous thing. And it is impossible to have this godliness drawn down here, that we're talking about this infiniteness of Hashem, to be drawn down here into this world if it is not prefaced by our getting excited first. That's what the word halos man, which he translated, the elevation of the Mayim Nukvin from below specifically, which Mayim Nukvin is, I'm glad he did not translate it, because the Mayim Nukvin is translated as the feminine waters, which means absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking, once you put it into the, it translates the jargon, means nothing. In fact, the Alter Rebbe doesn't even write Mayim Nukvin, he always writes Man. Okay, in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it means is Halas Man is the same expression, it's the Kabbalistic term for Isarusa de Latata, which is a Zohar term. Isarusa de Latata means an arousal from below. Okay, we happen to be called the feminine, and Hashem is called the masculine. So an arousal from the feminine means we do something, we get excited. And that's the way it is all across the board. That we have to be the initiators. Okay, the Aron HaKodesh weighed thousands of pounds. Yet, four people carried it.
Right.
And how did they carry it? They put their hand on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't it just float? If you're going to have it superconductive, if you have a proper superconductivity going on over there, the thing's going to float by itself. But that's not what happened over here. They had to put their hands on it as an Hisaris Melamata, do something. Hashem says, do something.
Right.
Then, once you're doing something, that then becomes the Keli.
Contribute.
For the godliness to come down. So we have to say the words. And by saying the words, so you draw down this godliness. But we have to do it first. Masha'en ken l'talmud ter shabat silus ha-miyuchad is b'lav hachi b'maitzel baruch hu. Which is not the case with studying Torah, which finds it's the level of Torah which originates in its silus, that without even this person doing it, so the Torah is connected to Hashem, it's still Chachmasa v'Ratzeinu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 602, 603, And this arousal from below in this person and in his heart is in a state of flaming without any limitations. V'nikri ma'idecha, that's called v'chol ma'idecha. As we have the verse v'chol nafshecha, v'chol levavecha, excuse me, means that your Yitzhahara should also, your Nefesh Bahamas should also be involved with it. V'chol nafshecha means even to the point of martyrdom. So where's left now with B'chol Ma'edecha? B'chol Ma'edecha means with all of your Ma'ed, which means all of your strength, which is beyond even that which is enclosed in your body. To the point where a person is engaged in this fiery love for Hashem. That's B'chol Ma'edecha. K'dei La'erech B'chinas Ein Sof, and then once a person is giving it everything that they have, so Hashem gives everything he has. That's the relationship. There's this mida keneged mida. Okay? You do a little bit, Hashem does a little bit. you do as much as you can, because how much you can determine Hashem. Hashem said, well, this person can do so much. When a person does as much as they can, so Hashem says, good, he's working 100%, I'm going to work 100% too. You know?
Good deal.
Good deal. Now he throws in some more Kabbalistic jargon over here. That means that there's an arousal from the infiniteness of Hashem, and he says now, which that is, Gvuris Desag means the level of containment, as in a Sag is a level of understanding. Sag is numerical value 63. There are four permutations of the, four miluyim of the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. A miluy is you spell out the letters. So Yud Hei Vav, Yud and Hei and Vav and Hei, or Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet. So a Yud is not 10, numerical value 10, it's a numerical value 20. Because you have a Yud, which is 10, a Vav is 6, and a Dalet, which is 4. So that's 20. So in all of the different names, so the Yud is always spelled the same way. But there's different ways to spell Hey and Vav. Hey could be spelled Hey Hey, Hey Aleph, or Hey Yud. And a Vav could be spelled, Vav Vav, Vav Aleph Vav, or Vav Yud Vav. Okay? So what we have are these different algorithms, because the whole purpose of the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is that that's what's directing the godliness down. So we have four different algorithms of how the godliness is drawn down. So they have numerical value 45, which is Sheng Ma, 52, which is Sheng Ban, 63, which is Sheng Sag, and Ayin Beis, which is Sheng Av. Av corresponds to Chochmah, Sag corresponds to Bina, Ban corresponds to Midos, and Ma corresponds to Malchus. Okay, so when you're talking Shem Sag, so Shem Sag is always in Bina. Okay, so here you have this person. That what is he doing? He's drawing down, so that means that it's contained in, what is Bina over Chochmah? Chochmah is just a flash, it's potential. It's really, in its own state, is pretty much unusable. When is it that you can use it is when it reaches the confines of understanding. That's called Gvuris Desag. Okay, so you have this user-friendly level of godliness now, which is in a level of Bina, which is above the emotions, which is above our comprehension altogether. Shehein Hein Repach Netzutzois, and that's what directs the 288 sparks that we talked about at the onset into this world. Lachin Nikra Hatfila Chai Shah. That's why in the Gemara, we mentioned this before, davening is called temporary. He malchus hayaredis bibiyah, which that refers to malchus, the level of Atzilus, which is related to the rest of the creation, as it comes down into the lower levels. And how much does it come down? It depends on how a person is davening and how much the effect that davening will have on the person. And as soon as the person stops davening and they went back to being the person that they were before the davening, so malchus goes back to Atzilus. It doesn't come, you're not drawing it down anymore. That's why it says, one of those expressions is halavaishi is pal kol alayim, kol hayayim. It should only be that you should daven a whole day. Doesn't mean that you should stand over the sitter all day, but it means that the effect that you have when you're davening, of drawing down a lukus down into this world, should be affecting a whole day. That you shouldn't, just when you close the book, it shouldn't be, right. Exactly, shouldn't end. Whereas Torah is nikichai olam. Torah is called eternal life. But who's Zah? It's not in Malchus, it's in Zah. It's a higher level. Kiramach b'kudin hein mechalkin b'yud kelim de eser spheres de Zah kula. Because each mitzvah is an expression of one of the attributes. Some mitzvahs are an expression of kindness. Some mitzvahs are an expression of constraint. Some mitzvahs are an expression of truth. Okay, so tzedakah is an expression of truth. Tzedakah is not charity, that would be kindness. Tzedakah, gemilas chasadim, is kindness. Tzedakah is an expression of rachmanis, which is an expression of truth. And then that comes down through the creation process. V'hini b'machem achar k'siv. V'hini b'machem achar k'siv sh'ramach mitzis asei hein behei chasadim v'shethal lois asei behei gevurois. So it says that the 248 positive commandments are an expression of kindness, and the 365 prohibitions are an expression of severity. We're showing that the mitzvah is now an expression of Hashem's emotion. In another place it writes, that there's 613 paths which are drawn from one path, that this is called the supernal whiteness. That every mitzvah, every single mitzvah, what is it? It's an expression of the will of Hashem. Why do we do a mitzvah? Why is a mitzvah a mitzvah? Because Hashem wants it.
Hashem said, yeah.
So all the mitzvahs are rooted all back to one place, one starting. Hashem wants a dira b'tachtanim. And that desire of a dira b'tachtanim branches out into 613. It says, if you want to make a dira b'tachtanim for Hashem, so then you do the 613 commandments. So either way you're looking at it, so the mitzvahs have to go through through as expressions of divine emotions, even though they may be rooted in the all in one single place. Okay, we're going to stop here on page 310. The word ends, line ending, v'chulu. We're about 10 lines down. And in the English, it is... The explanation is all mitzvahs are designed to repair, etc. To be continued.